Hello, I'm Steve Brunham for the Missing People podcast. This program is a continuation of a series that Kelly Jolkowski began on her blog in March of 2005, entitled Introduction to Psychics and Missing People Series. Kelly's the founder and president of Project Jason, an organization dedicated to assisting the missing and their families and friends. On June 13, 2001, her son Jason, then 19 years of age, disappeared without a trace and has not been seen nor heard from since. That day forever changed Kelly, her husband Jim, and their son Michael's lives. Their story continues. Please be warned that some of the information presented contains graphic descriptions of violent acts, which may be disturbing to you. Also, we recommend that young people listen to these programs only with the direct participation of their parents or other appropriate adult guardianship.
I have never met nor spoken to world-famous psychic Sylvia Brown. I have no desire to speak to her. When I look at her, I see ugliness which has nothing to do with physical appearance. Rather, it has to do with what is inside. And it is indeed ugly to the core. Thousands upon thousands are taken in by her deceptions. They buy her books and they pay for her readings. They even pay $250 to join her, quote, Christian church, end quote, which is an abomination to real Christianity, claiming that God is a woman who created God the man. Reincarnation is real. There is no such thing as sin or hell. And Jesus ran off to France with Mary Magdalene, having never died on the cross. I believe it was during the first year that Jason was missing that we received a large envelope in the mail, which contained numerous photocopied papers. The copies were the poorest quality I'd ever seen. Each one contained sales information about various items for purchase, such as books, tapes, and readings. I had no idea why we received this packet, until I found the letter that was enclosed. An older woman who used to go to our church had written a letter to Sylvia Brown, asking for her help in our son's case. The letter was in the package, but there was no letter from Sylvia Brown or any of her minions, not even a form letter. There was no expression of sympathy for our plight, only a request to purchase products. I'd be rich if I had a dollar for every time someone said to me, "Why not ask Sylvia Brown for help? She can help you." I say the only person she is helping is herself. The only thing she is capable of finding is your money in her bank account. To date, Sylvia Brown has never solved a single missing person case. That should tell you something.
Dana Ames is the co-founder of the United Response Search and Rescue Team. Dana, along with her sister, Sheila Holland, assist families of the missing with searches and support through their organization. Sheila and Dana support us in our efforts to educate the public and the families we serve. To learn more about United Response, please go to missingpeoplepodcast.com and click on their link. This was Dana's contribution to Kelly Jolkowski's Psychics and Missing People series entitled Fruit Loops, Looney Tunes, Nutcases, Emotionally Disturbed.
These are just a few words that we have used to describe the unwanted, unwelcome psychics that interject themselves into the lives of victims and their families. As the director of the United Response Search and Rescue Team, I can tell you firsthand the absolute destruction and devastation these individuals cause. United Response Search and Rescue Team has had psychics inject themselves into well over 60 missing person cases. They always start out the same. They either contact the families themselves or have someone call the families and do their bidding for them. They never or seldom want money. If they normally charge for their services, then they will typically waive their fees, and we are glad for that. After all, the families should not have to pay to be re-victimized by these sometimes well-intended fruit loops. They do this to legitimize their unsolicited involvement in the cases. They always claim that they just want to help and that the victim is pressuring them into contacting the families. these individuals don't understand the damage and devastation they cause, nor do they care. The families of missing loved ones are desperate for answers as to what happened to their loved one, and the psychics count on that. Their claims of seeing the perpetrator, the location of the events, and even talking to the dead themselves make it more devastating on the families. These families, desperate for any answers they can find to locate their loved ones, makes them extremely vulnerable to these quacks. The families are afraid not to believe these people, because what if they are right and they don't listen? They may lose their opportunity to find their loved one. When the impression or dream or whatever they want to call it does not pan out, the families are then left feeling hopeless and devastated. I can tell you that not one of our cases has ever been solved by a psychic, nor have any psychics ever been even remotely close to being correct about the true facts that come out after solved cases. Over the course of the past 5 years, I can tell you that our clients have been contacted by psychics from all over the country, including the well-known Sylvia Brown. Not ever has any one of them been correct. In speaking with our clients, we have been able to determine the estimated number of psychics that have contacted them to be in the upper 200s. And this is a conservative number. Opal Jennings' family alone was contacted by at least 60 different psychics, and I will get into some specifics a little later on about that, and how wrong the details were that these individuals gave. Psychic involvement in the cases is not only hard on the families, but it is also a very difficult situation for law enforcement and search and rescue teams to deal with as well. These families are very fragile, and it is very difficult to explain why the involvement of a psychic is not going to help in locating their loved one. At first, it gives the family another direction they want to explore and gives them hope. The problem with this is they want to try to locate the landmarks, vehicles, suspects, or locations that the psychics have told them about. This would not be a problem if any of what they were ever told was correct or true, but that has just not ever been the case in our experience. While we are chasing these dreams and visions, we are not working on the facts of the case, and it takes us away from the true investigation and slows down the process. It wastes valuable time and it hinders the search for legitimate answers that we are looking for. If you have been working on a real lead and you are taken away from the facts that are legitimate to the case and you choose to chase these visions, you can actually jeopardize your case and the valuable resources that are needed to get the job done. You can lose focus on the real perpetrator or have the water so muddy that it could take months to get back on the right track. And that kind of valuable time could truly cost the life of the victim, or forensic evidence to be lost forever. It is just not worth it, no matter how you slice it. It breaks our heart to look into the tearful eyes of those families and have to tell them that the new information they have received from a psychic is not most likely going to turn out to be anything, and we will try to keep an eye out for whatever they have been told. It dashes their hope, and sometimes that is all they have. When we have actually dropped everything that we were doing and pursued the visions, it has always been extremely devastating when they don't come to fruition. The families can't understand why someone would have told them that this information was the answer to finding their loved one, to only have it be absolute crap. It enrages me to see people that we have grown to love be victimized by these horrible people. We have had many tell us that the psychics are well-intending, and that they may be. But I could care less about their well-intended feelings. I think they should be charged with interfering in the investigation of a missing person. I wish something could be done to stop them from re-victimizing these families. Little Opal Joe Jennings was abducted by a repeat sex offender in March of 1999 from her grandmother's front yard in Saginaw, Texas. The family, desperate for answers, went on the Montel Williams show in April of 1999 and had a reading done by this infamous Sylvia Brown. Ms. Brown told the grandmother on national TV that Opal was alive and that she had been taken and sold into a sex slave ring in Japan, and very horrible things had been done to her. Montel Williams pledged the support of his finest private investigators and promised that he would immediately start to work on locating Opal. This was the last time the family ever heard from Montel or Ms. Sylvia Brown. Opal's tiny remains were finally found in a wooded area approximately 13 miles from where she was abducted in December of 2003. It was determined that Opal was killed by trauma to the head within several hours of her abduction. Montel left the viewing audience believing that they had solved the case and would go and find Opal in 1999, none of which he did, nor did he correct the facts before his viewers. Pretty sad. This is the very reason why so many people believe in psychics today. It is because of shows like the Montel Williams Show, and the only thing that these people care about are ratings and fat bank accounts. All of that being said, this poor family had at least another 60 psychics contact them. These so-called psychics come in many forms, and some of them even claim they are not psychics. They claim to have all kinds of abilities, and the truth is they are all emotional and led by their emotions. Or worse, they are just liars. Some want money, but most do not. They all want to be involved, and they are all trying to build a name for themselves. None of these people care about the damage they cause. In June of 2004, we were conducting a search for Marcus Savage, a 4-year-old little boy who was reported missing by his father. The father had stated that the child had gone to play with friends a few doors down and had never returned. While conducting our search for Marcus, a psychic named Nola Brown contacted us and was insistent that we stop looking in the area that we were in and go to the local McDonald's. The psychic stated that two strangers abducted Marcus. One was a white male in his 40s, and the other was a very unattractive, overweight white female in her 30s. Marcus and his father were both black. She then went on to describe how the abduction took place and that the license plate on the vehicle were from another state. The psychic then insisted that the McDonald's security cameras should be checked because they had taken him to McDonald's. The psychic called at least 10 times on the first day we were conducting our search for this child, and each time there was more urgency in her voice. This psychic was incorrect on everything that she had stated. The child's father was arrested days later and charged with the little boy's murder. Marcus's body was found in the trunk of a car, wrapped in a blanket that had been taken from his bed. Had we listened to what this quack was telling us, she would have sent us in the wrong direction. Not only that, but Marcus may not have been found if we had checked out the psychic's story. How scary. In closing, I would like to add that we do not blame the victims or their families in any way for entertaining psychics. We truly understand the desperate position these families are in. Our hope is that this information will arm these families with information about this very important topic. We believe information is power, and our desire is to empower those who are most vulnerable, the victims and their families.
The contributor of the following information, entitled The Psychic Editor, has chosen to remain anonymous. When I had the opportunity to receive national television coverage for my missing loved one on a show featuring a well-known psychic, I jumped at it. I was more excited about the national coverage than the prospect of listening to what a psychic had to say, but I was willing to listen. I was thinking, What if we do hear something that could help? After being prepped off stage that psychologists would be available if we needed support, the taping commenced. A short tape rolled for the audience describing our family's missing loved one and documenting the reactions of the family members left behind. We then listened intently and answered questions from the host and the psychic about our missing loved one. Not knowing what to think about what we were being told, we took all the information in, hoping that it would pan out to a new lead and possibly help find our missing loved one. After the show, we were quickly ushered into a waiting limo, only to wonder about what we just heard and how the show would turn out. On our ride back home, excited about the prospect that our loved one was alive and possibly nearby, we made meticulous notes on exactly what the psychic told us about our missing loved one. After making these notes, we looked down at the notes and we were thinking that they looked quite similar to the content of the website for our missing loved one. The hopes created by the psychic's words moments earlier were already starting to diminish. The notes also told of our loved one being picked up by a truck from ABC Trucking Company and to look in XYZ City for our loved one. We didn't know what to make of the information, nor were we willing to wait until the show aired in a few months, so we forwarded the information to our investigator, who investigated ABC Trucking online, spoke to law enforcement in XYZ City, and inquired in XYZ City's area hospitals for our missing loved one. When the show aired on television a few months later, to our amazement, the psychic's vision changed. The psychic now stated that our loved one was picked up by XYZ Trucking Company, a completely different trucking company. Also, after referring to our original notes made in the limo, we realized the entire flow of the conversation from the psychic was different. We can only assume that the clip was retaped and the psychic must have forgot what they had originally said. Either way, the experience only reinforced what our disillusioned family already believed. That is, if psychics were for real, they would be on law enforcement's payroll, not going around giving families false hope and wasting their time. Missing People Podcast and Project Jason understand that many people believe that psychics are effective in solving crimes and finding missing people. Please keep in mind that the goal of this series is to help families understand techniques used by persons making these claims and make better decisions about the use of psychics. Project Jason and its volunteers cannot act as a clearinghouse for persons claiming success in using paranormal means to locate missing persons. We will be unable to respond to emails or other correspondence sent to us from persons making these claims or persons offering information about or referrals to psychics. We instead invite those persons to visit the James Randi Educational Foundation at www.randi.org. That's www.randi.org. This has been a Missing People podcast production of Kelly Jolkowski's Psychics and Missing People series, in association with Project Jason. Our featured voice talents were Sue Rasmussen as Kelly Jolkowski, Steve Bronham, and Gene Levins. Audio adaptation by David Anderson. Produced and directed by Steve Bronham. Copyright 2006-2007, Missing People podcast, and Project Jason. All rights reserved. Original music created and performed by Ariana Kima. For links to our various information sources, please go to missingpeoplepodcast.com. From my co-host, Kelly Jolkowski, president and founder of Project Jason, I'm Steve Bronham for the Missing People Podcast. Thank you for listening.